Hey everyone, welcome into Redacted. Welcome to your Monday, your first Monday in June. We are so glad you're joining us. I'm Natalie Morris.
And I'm Clayton Morris.
Thank you for coming. We have a lot of news to get to because as we are broadcasting, Dr. Fauci is telling lies. I know that you're shocked by that, yeah. But he is telling lies to Congress. And so, you know, because he is basically Pinocchio. When he opens his mouth, he lies.
Well, I love when Jim Jordan like asks him a specific question. He knows he already has the answer to it. I know I have the emails. I know I have the receipts. So did you do this? No, I didn't do this. Oh, you didn't? Wink, wink. And he winks across the other member of Congress. Did you just perjure yourself right in front of Congress right now?
You know what I'm so curious about? And we're going to talk about this in a second. We're going to talk about it a little today and a lot tomorrow and probably from now until eternity, but it's fresh news. One of the things that's bothering me so much is who prepped him for these congressional testimonies? Was it taxpayer-funded lawyers? Was it us who helped him lie to us?
Of course.
I'm very curious about that. If you know anything about that, let me know.
Even if it wasn't, his salary that we pay would cover it, his $400,000 that he probably still gets. So regardless if it came as an addition or his salary, we paid for it.
Right, because anytime you go into a deposition, you need copious amounts of training. So we know he's had legalese training prior to this, and he's lying anyway. So I'm very curious about that. We're going to get to that right off the top of the show.
We're also going to talk about, hey, France has some plans. How about when we honor those who fought and died on D-Day on the beaches of Normandy on June 6th? In France, we have Emmanuel Macron go to the beaches of Normandy and invite Vladimir Zelensky to Normandy and then also announce at that same time, according to the Financial Times, yes, we are about to send French forces into Ukraine to stop Russia. I mean, you literally can't make this up. It sounds like it's an April Fool's Day joke, but it's not. Here's how you honor on the 80th anniversary of D-Day, inviting Zelensky to Normandy. Like, I can't even wrap my head around it. We're going to talk about that.
I hope he is haunted by every soul in that. Oh, my God. That's awful.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, we're going to talk about Canadian Pride walkout because schools in Canada are saying no thank you to the Pride propaganda that is relatively new and we know what it's about. So you can put those rainbows right back. This is a school. David Creighton's going to join us to talk about that. Also, is the Trump guilty verdict a gift to Trump? To the former president. Is it something he can capitalize on? We're going to have a guest from Lionel Nation on today to talk about that. Now, remember, he is a former prosecutor, so he knows that of which he speaks. So all of that as Redacted starts right now. Welcome in. Welcome to your Monday. Hope everyone's doing well. The dog is howling.
Hello, Paula says, hello, Redacted Rebels. Welcome to the rebellion, all of you guys. And if you do subscribe to the channel, your name will pop up here on the big board. So good to see all of you guys. If you do subscribe or follow us on Rumble and on YouTube, your name could possibly pop up there right now. So, all right.
Okay, before we do that, should I text somebody to shut the dog?
I can handle.
You can?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry if the howling dog is upsetting anybody, but we have news to get to. He's howling about the news. You can howl along with him because we don't have happy news, but it's news nonetheless. Dr. Fauci is testifying to Congress as we speak, and inevitably he will follow up his previous testimonies full of lies with a new batch of lies. So that's what we have to go through. And he will answer for the fact that he switched around his emails and personal devices while managing the pandemic, Hillary Clinton style. But will it matter? Now, here's the thing that we need to remember, because we're going to watch this. We will have our emotions evoked, most likely with rage, and we will say, oh, my God, we got him. But we don't really, because Congress doesn't have the power to prosecute anyone. Most politicians will use this clip, meaning their participation. They'll clip it up. They'll put it on Twitter, and they will use it to fundraise to you. That's really it. We know that. But what can they do when he's lying to them? Well, they can say, they can refer this to the Justice Department and say he lied to Congress, he committed fraud. They can do that. Will the Justice Department pick it up? Right? Okay. You want to take odds on that. But at least it's here. We can at least see this. Now, I am just as pissed about Anthony Fauci as the next person, but here is a reminder. Please don't threaten him. Don't threaten him personally. It's not the right thing to do because he is tested, especially because he testified today that he's the victim here, not anyone who was hurt by lockdowns or vaccines.
There have been everything from harassments by emails, texts, letters of myself, my wife, my three daughters. There have been credible death threats leading to the arrests of two individuals, and credible death threats mean someone who clearly was on their way to kill me. And it's required my having protective services essentially all the time. It is very troublesome to me. It is much more troublesome because they've involved my wife and my three daughters.
At these moments, how do you feel? Keep your mic on.
Terrible.
Do you continue to receive threats today?
Yes, I do. Every time someone gets up and says I'm responsible for the death of people throughout the world, the death threats go up.
Okay. So I'm accused of being responsible for death, so people, you know, threaten me. I mean, I would like very much if he would be threatened with a fraud trial. That's not really a violent threat, right? I would like for him to be brought to justice.
I would like there to be a Nuremberg 2.0 trial. I would one of the greatest threats to humanity that we've ever seen. One of the greatest travesties against humanity that we've ever seen. You were in lockstep with that, Mr. Fauci. You absolutely should be brought up on charges. There should be a Nuremberg 2.0.
Right.
And yes, no one wants a person's family to be targeted or harassed or hurt or killed or anything like that. That's abhorrent. But of course, these are the very same things that were happening to Supreme Court justices, and the media went totally silent on it, by the way.
Right.
I love the double standards here.
And it's not... I was just going to point out, a lot of people will also point to how he handled the AIDS endemic, how he handled like a lot of the things that came to light that he was doing in his labs that outside of COVID, a lot of people are upset. I mean, there should be things that go back that far. This guy has not had a good history, and yet he sits there and pretends to be the victim.
Right. I mean, we can talk about deaths of despair. We can drag out, if we were going to play political stunts, we could drag out victims of despair who went into these, you know, maybe overdosed themselves to death, families of people like that. We can talk about maybe someone whose mother was killed by their father because of domestic abuse. We can bring go ahead.
Well, when the hearing started, someone yelled out, "You killed my father."
Right. We don't know exactly how that happened, but I'm sure, we can find copious examples of how his non-scientific policy hurt people. We're going to have more on this as we continue to go through it throughout the week, but we wanted to bring you the highlights. Also, we'll get more between Senator Paul, and you know there is no love lost between those two because of the famous Senator Paul, "You do not know what you're talking about." That clip didn't age well. Because at the time he was saying there was never any gain of function. You don't know what it is. We never did anything like it. Well, here's Senator Paul basically cracking his knuckles because he's going to get to ask Fauci questions today.
So Dr. Fauci is going to be testifying tomorrow. What are you expecting?
Well, you know, our investigation has confirmed that he did indeed lie. He committed a felony. He said that they did not fund, that the NIH did not fund gain-of-function dangerous research in China. We now know that to be untrue. We know he committed a felony. But what we've discovered now is that there was a massive cover-up from the very beginning. There was a behind-the-scenes effort to change the opinion of people. Many of the people, many of the Fauci colleagues, all believed that the virus did come from the lab. Their opinions were all changed. But then all evidence was then covered up. They began using burner phones. They began using couriers. They said, "We can't do things electronically. I can take things by hand to his house." It sounds more like the CIA than the NIH, but it's unbelievable the amount of things that went on. They say, "Oh, we're safe now. I've deleted all those emails. I think we're safe now." What in the world would they actually mean by "we think we're safe now"? So there was a massive cover-up, and there's so many people that need to be interviewed. In addition to Fauci, we have David Behrens, who worked for him for 20 years. We have the FOIA lady, the IT woman at NIH, who was explaining to them how to avoid FOIA and how to break the law. She needs to be deposed. There's all kinds of stones that can be unturned, but ultimately the buck stops with Anthony Fauci. He was in charge of the place, and he has the responsibility not only for the cover-up, but also responsibility for letting dangerous research go on that led to a pandemic, in all likelihood led to a pandemic that killed millions of people.
But I mean, you know, think about that. President Trump is in charge. He finds out about this COVID pandemic coming, that this disease is about to kill all these people. He's got his team right there. He asks, what do you think this is? Dr. Fauci knew all along that they were doing this gain of function research. And he says, oh, well, I think it's natural. I mean, really?
Well, see, we now have his emails, contemporaneous emails from the exact time when he was saying it was natural, nothing to see here, and that the NIH had nothing to do with it. We have the private emails where he and everyone in his inner circle was saying, oh my goodness, we've looked at the genetic sequence and it looks to be manipulated. It looks to be a creation of a lab. And then they do the opposite. And it's even more nefarious than that. A few weeks later, Anthony Fauci gets up in the White House at the podium and he quotes a scientific paper to prove that scientists believe this came from nature. But he didn't tell people that he commissioned and edited the paper. He was behind the origins of the paper. And so there's so much dishonesty going on here and so much abuse of power. We've got to get to the bottom of this, and mainly because this research still goes on. It goes on in the United States, and it needs to be regulated. I have a bill coming forward that I hope will be bipartisan that will have an independent agency that oversees all of this dangerous research.
Okay, well, he's right about every single bit that he's talking about. The Nature paper, we've seen that. He doctored that. We've seen the receipts. We know he lied about gain of function. We know he told lies about the vaccine, not only its safety, but also things that were never tested. If anyone ever wants to push you on that, don't let them. The vaccine trials never showed that the vaccine stopped the transmission of COVID or hospitalization or death. They only tested for COVID symptoms in their clinical trials. We've brought you those receipts. Anyone who wants to defend it, you send them to me and I'll send you those studies. Now, so as Fauci's testimony gets underway, we will hope for more questions like this. Now, this is him arriving this morning, and you have to imagine that these are the kind of things he gets quite regularly when he's walking down the street. Now, look, they're sort of looking like, okay, anybody around? We're going to get them out, you know.
Any ne'er-do-wells around here?
Yeah, this is not, it looks pretty clear. Okay.
Just a reporter.
Here he goes.
Dr. Fauci, why did you keep funding the Wuhan lab after Trump told you not to? Will you apologize for lying about masks and the vaccine?
No comment. Now, recall, this testimony that he's doing this week, we have emails showing that he and his team tried to push this off as much as they could. Here was the letter that the committee sent showing that the NIH and the Eco Alliance were trying to delay this for as long as possible. It's very hard to read. What it says there is like, the more time, the better. We can push off one guy, which then puts Tony later. We need this delay. They said each day of delay helps. So he really does not want to be there this week, especially if he's going to be asked about these deleted emails. Now, remember, we learned just in late May that one of his top advisors learned to delete emails so that they would not be found in FOIA requests, that is Freedom of Information requests, that would show up and show us what they were up to during the pandemic. Listen to this revelation from a congressional hearing just a few weeks ago from the House Oversight Chairman James Comer.
Dr. David Moran, a senior advisor to Dr. Fauci for decades, wrote in an email to Dr. Daszak, quote, I learned from our FOIA lady here how to make emails disappear after I am FOIA'd, but before the search starts. So I think we are all safe. Plus, I deleted most of those earlier emails after sending them to Gmail, end quote. Is that consistent with NIH document retention policies?
It is not.
Does the NIH FOIA office teach employees how to avoid transparency?
I certainly hope not.
He also later wrote Dr. Daszak, and I quote, we are all smart enough to know to never have smoking guns. And if we did, we wouldn't put them in emails. And if we found them, we would delete them, end quote. Is that consistent with NIH document retention policies?
It is not.
Finally, emails show that Dr. Moran's would share internal discussions regarding upcoming FOIA releases with Dr. Daszak. He would then help Dr. Daszak craft responses to documents being released in these FOIAs. Are those actions consistent with NIH policies?
If those actions occurred, they would not be consistent.
No. So do these actions concern you, Dr. Tabak?
It does indeed.
What is Dr. Moran's current employment status?
He is an employee of NIH.
Okay, so that's a government employee learning how to hide documentation from a FOIA lady, who we don't know who that is yet, and talking around how everyone else knows this too, mentioning Dr. Fauci. Now, who exactly did this? What he was talking about is David Morans, a senior advisor to Dr. Anthony Fauci from 1998 until 2022. And in fact, he did try and pull a Hillary Clinton and use his Gmail to avoid a paper trail. Take a look at that right there. There's one at least once where he used his Gmail in order to go off the trail. And now we have suggestions that Fauci did the same thing. I mean, it's just, not only is it dishonest, it's dumb. It's just dumb, right? Like, it's not the cool way to hide data these days, guys. You gotta, like,
use
invisible ink. You gotta, yeah. I mean,
like old, like 1950s.
A decoder ring is the way you do it.
Self-destruct.
Yeah, like Mission Impossible 1960s, right. Or Dick Tracy comics. Like,
they're just old and dumb if they're literally doing it this way.
You know what is the most frustrating part to me, though, is like when you're watching this, is you have one side that's like, oh, he's a doctor. It's Dr. Fauci. He's got us through all of this stuff. He got us through the pandemic. And they totally ignore, like, how can you sit there and ignore the emails? You're looking at physical proof, literal proof that he did what they're saying he did, yet you sit there and try to defend his character, and then when they want to contest anything, they attack the character of the people that are bringing the information forward rather than actually taking into consideration the information they're bringing forward.
Yeah, right. This lady who's like, oh, how does that make you feel? Because you're a hero and they threaten you. That must feel really bad. What is she not then asking? What does she not want to see? Because the vaccine trials are damning. The vaccine performance is damning. The COVID death numbers being doctored is damning. The science behind lockdowns is damning. The non-science behind 6 feet apart is damning. The science behind masking is damning. So why the heck do we care about Fauci's feelings? It's so strange. Well, now, go ahead, please.
You know, and to David's point, Aaron Rupar is just an example of you know, a liberal journalist who was like all over Twitter today trying to remind everyone about how great Dr. Fauci is. Today, Fauci's hearing is a reminder of something that's easy to forget now. 4 years ago, COVID absolutely dominated public life here in the United States and was a top issue in the 2020 campaign. It's easy to take for granted how skillfully Biden oversaw the vaccine rollout and got the economy back up and running. It's one of the greatest defining successes of his first term.
Okay, Trump rolled out the vaccine, but go ahead.
And I mean, just on and on and on, just praising Dr. Fauci and how this is a witch hunt and you shouldn't watch this and this is ridiculous and it's a spectacular thread of idiocy, he says, by the GOP attempting to attack Dr. Fauci.
Again, to that point, he says COVID dominated American life. Not because of merit, because when we look back at the actual
science
rates of infection and death, and the populations that it was affecting, we decided that. We went along with it collectively.
And people lost their jobs for pointing this out. Nurses who were in a hospital,
right.
And they were saying, hey, this hospital is actually empty. And they're telling you here locally that this hospital is overrun and we're at capacity, but I'm shooting video of this hospital and it's not even empty. There's all these beds are free.
So notice that
she loses her job.
Linguistic gymnastics is that COVID dominated public life. It's not that COVID was causing massive amounts of deaths, because now we can contest those numbers and we absolutely should, or that social distancing was absolutely necessary, or that there were super spreader events. Like, we can't define those things anymore. So what we can say is that COVID was dominating our lives. Yes.
Well,
true.
And also to speak to like what you said earlier, Clayton, like remember when it first came out, the vaccine, and Biden and Harris and all these people were like, if he's rushing that through, we're not taking it.
Yeah, yeah. Biden said, I'm not touching that.
That thing.
An experimental thing, a vaccine. I'm not touching that by Trump.
Yeah.
I'm not touching that thing. Yeah, I absolutely remember that. And then suddenly it's fine. And then suddenly it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And it's the greatest thing ever.
Right.
And suddenly Biden's the hero.
Yes. Right. Yeah, that's pretty crazy. I bet you if you checked that guy's vaccine card, he had the vaccine before Biden was inaugurated. I bet.
Who's that guy?
Aaron Rupar, you know, a lot of people who were able to get it quite early because they were so excited about it, most of them got it under Trump, the Trump administration before the sun had set. So anyway, I don't know that for a fact. I'm just guessing. Here's what I also am guessing about. Did taxpayer-funded lawyers prep Dr. Fauci for this session that we're about to watch? Was it NIH lawyers? Was it government lawyers? Because, you know, when someone is deposed, they go through extensive legal training in order to be able to answer questions using legalese. So Fauci was obviously going to have his feet held to the fire about the lies that he has perpetuated over the last 5 years and beyond. And so who trained him for this? Who prepped him for this? Obviously, we saw in the emails that the NIH and Eco Alliance, both which were taxpayer funded, Eco Alliance not anymore, but both of them receiving taxpayer funding. So is it us, the taxpayers, who is training him to lie to us? I'm very curious about that. I'm pretty sure I'm right, and I hate it a lot.
Well, and like I said at the start of the show, like even if he's paying for it out of his own money, his salary we pay. So it, regardless,
right?
Like,
well, he's retired the grapevine, now.
Doesn't matter. We're paying his
but
pension.
He's probably still getting a chunk of that money. I don't know if he's getting the full amount, but I guarantee you he's still on the dole.
Oh, of course.
But you can see here the NIH and the bit of evidence that I showed you that they are planning for it. They're planning for David Morin's and they're planning for Tony Fauci. So they're the ones, it's a government agency that are planning this testimony and training for it. So in case anyone can point out where I'm right, where I'm wrong, I'm pretty sure that it's us who trained him for this. And to come and, you know, cry, tell us that you personally feel threatened, and do some gymnastics to avoid lying to the best of your ability. So again, the committee can recommend him to the Justice Department for prosecution, but will they take that up? I'm not optimistic, but at least we'll see. We get some answers. I don't know, you know, if you're one who really lost something during the pandemic based on his non-science, if those answers are going to fill any voids in your life. But nevertheless, that's where we are.
Well, we've got more news to get to here on your Monday. We're going to look at the D-Day countdown to World War III. Yes, on the beaches of Normandy, that is where France, according to the Financial Times, is ready to roll out and announce their newfound support and troops being sent into Ukraine as part of D-Day celebrations. Like, this is how you honor those men who died and paid the ultimate sacrifice to rid the world of fascism. You invite Zelensky to Normandy and then literally talk about sending troops to France in order to fight Russia. We'll talk about that in a second.
But first, we want to tell you about our friends over at American Financing, because you know, we don't have to tell you, food cost is up, insurance costs up, childcare up, and most of us have no other choice but to just put these things on credit cards. You know, this just can't keep happening. It's heartbreaking to see hardworking Americans who cannot make ends meet during this inflationary time, mostly because of political perversions. But don't panic. Call American Financing today. If you're a homeowner, they've helped thousands of people in the same situation pay off that debt and break free from financial stress. Now, this is what wealthy people do, is they take bad financial products and swap them out for good ones. So your credit card is a bad financial product, high interest product. Take a look and see if you can swap that with another based on the assets that you have. They are salary-based mortgage consultants. They are saving homeowners an average of $854 a month. It's a relief, so call today and ask them if it works for you. You may even close in as fast as 10 days. So call them at American Financing. That's 866-890-8434 today, or head on over to AmericanFinancing.net/redacted for details about credit costs and terms. Again, go to AmericanFinancing.net/redacted.
Someone in our chat said the gasoline in that video is pretty cheap.
Like, was
where,
it?
Where can you find that gasoline? I'd like to know, I guess. Yeah. I was missing that, but I was like, oh, that's funny. Someone else in the chat, Cameron says, is this show really live? Yes, Cameron. And yeah. I even pinned the comment at the top of our YouTube channel. Cameron, we are live on this Monday. Good to see all of you guys here. Wherever you are, just let us know here in the chat. Let us know where you are joining us from around the world. We love to see everyone. And thank you guys for subscribing. Alexandra Osaka, I missed it, but just subscribe and became a Redacted Rebel. So if you do subscribe to the show, it's free. Your name will pop up here on the big board. All right, let's talk about D-Day, shall we? Well, France is preparing on bastardizing the 80th anniversary of D-Day celebrations to announce the start of World War III. That's essentially what the Financial Times is reporting today. I mean, you can't make this up. France leads initiative on sending military trainers to Ukraine, Paris, and Kiev in talks ahead of D-Day anniversary when Vladimir Zelensky will visit France. So he's going to go to the hallowed ground. He's going to go to Pointe du Hoc. He's going to walk through those Nazi bunkers. Is that what he's going to do? I mean, this is unbelievable to think that this is what Zelensky is going to do. He's going to, you know, he's going to walk through, he's going to walk down the beaches. He's going to go down Juno Beach. He's going to go to Omaha Beach.
It's so crazy to think, because think about this. It's like, we're going to go celebrate D-Day to push a war with the country that sacrificed the most fighting that war.
Right. Like 23 million. And it's funny, it's not lost. I mean, even the D-Day museums actually point out the incredible sacrifice of the Russians ahead of it. The 23 million that died pushing the Nazis back from Stalingrad and actually pushing them back. So it's unbelievable and a total slap in the face to people who fought against fascism, who fought against Nazis, who are going to invite Zelensky to the beaches of Normandy. Unbelievable. I wonder what Zelensky will do when he sees all of these flags and even the Russian flags. By the way, is Macron going to go through there and take all of the Russian flags that are featured there? There are actually some Russian flags that are hung through some of the D-Day museums as well. Will he cleanse those like he cleansed them in Ukraine?
Right. And there was a mural that I'll never forget of the four Allied leaders. It was, not Truman. He was the... who was it, honey? Stalin?
Okay, Roosevelt.
Roosevelt.
Uh-huh. Churchill.
Churchill. And who was the fourth one?
Who did you say? I'm sorry, I'm trying to...
Stalin. Anyway, but okay. Yes, Russia was featured prominently in these murals of the leaders of these countries who were part of the Allied forces.
Okay. Yeah, I forget off the top of my head who was the Canadian.
Sorry, I didn't mean to put us on the spot.
So with all of this going on here, this is where France has led this initiative now to sending military trainers to Ukraine. That's why this morning in France, you had this coffins outside the Eiffel Tower. And they've arrested a number of individuals who've placed these coffins with life-sized coffins with French flags were found at the Eiffel Tower.
Why? And, why is that an arrestable offense?
Well, because it's France. I guess they can arrest you for anything, just like in Germany now they can do that. And what, of course, the inscription on the coffins read, it said, French soldiers in Ukraine, meaning you're getting ready to send French soldiers to die in a NATO war that we don't want in Ukraine. So these individuals were arrested.
But that's a peaceful protest. Not a meaningful
one. Not in France. You're not allowed to do that in France. You're also not allowed to do that in Germany and some other European countries. Of course, Europe is turning into a totalitarian dictatorship, an authoritarian European Union, as you well know, seizing your assets, of course, seizing your cash, not allowing you to use a certain amount of cash, and on and on. So anyway, here's the Financial Times piece. France is seeking to assemble a coalition of European countries willing to send military trainers to Ukraine as Western allies look for ways to speed up Kiev's recruitment efforts in the face of Russia's renewed offensive. More than 100,000 Ukrainian servicemen have completed training abroad, mostly in Poland, Germany, and the UK, since the start of Russia's full-scale invasion in 2022, according to Ukraine's general staff. But Ukrainian officials say it would be more efficient to send Western Army personnel to train them locally, especially as as Russia has intensified its aerial attacks and made some territorial gains in northern and eastern Ukraine. Some Western allies have already provided limited training in Ukraine. President Macron is expected to unveil France's plan to send army trainers next Thursday when he hosts Ukrainian President Zelensky in Normandy, along with other leaders, including U.S. President Joe Biden, on the 80th anniversary of the D-Day, according to people familiar with the matter.
None of those assholes should get to go there.
No.
France is going to send soldiers to Ukraine to teach them how to duck better from aerial attacks.
Well, right. That's what Zelensky said last week. Or I'm sorry, Macron, when he held up that paper, flimsy map saying, well, we're not really going to fight, but we're just going to kind of get them started. We need to go to Kharkiv, which is nowhere near the battlefront. And we're just going to sort of set them up for success, kind of like we'll make the bed, you know, and then they can do whatever they're going to do in that bed. So he's been warming to this for a long time. And it's clear that all of these leaders are going to use this anniversary in order to hope to pin it to the wars that they want right now in Gaza, in Ukraine. And so they're not honoring these fallen soldiers at all. They should be prohibited from going there, not allowed there.
And so you have just a few, just a handful of veterans still alive, just a few. I mean, you probably count them, I think under 20 of them, if I'm not mistaken, who are still alive. Very, very few who were on within the first wave on D-Day. And of course, the celebrations now are getting ready and prepared to honor that day and to walk those beaches and to drive down the streets and to celebrate this victory over. Here's one young man who was there honoring his grandfather at the cemetery there. I think it was the American cemetery there, honoring a Pennsylvania veteran. And so just a handful. Here are some of the pillboxes that they're going to be touring. This is at Point du Hoc right here, Point du Hoc, where the U.S. Rangers, the U.S. Army Rangers, scaled up a sheer wall in order to stop the Nazis at the top of that wall. Like, you're going to send Zelensky there so he can look down and see? He can stand in those very same bunkers?
Or have the nerve to compare his war that he's voluntarily participating in, leading people to their deaths, to the heroism of World War II veterans. It's unbelievably
disgusting. We're going to see some ridiculous photo ops. We're going to see President Biden glad-handing and shaking hands with Zelensky. It really makes my skin crawl. It really upsets me to think that President Biden is going to be standing there like with Zelensky and Macron, and probably Rishi Sunak is going to fly in as well. And they're going to stand there near the graves, near hallowed ground. And they're going to launch and make this announcement about sending French trainers and NATO forces into Ukraine so that we can basically start World War III. I mean,
don't the soldiers?
That's Orwellian.
Yeah, and don't the soldiers that are going to be there, like the surviving ones, they do see Russia as an ally, correct? Like they do probably know the history that Ukraine was on the wrong. Ukraine was actually, some of that was on the other side. Like that's why there's still Nazis there.
It doesn't matter. We're
like,
rewriting history.
How's those Bandera followers working out for you?
I mean, literally, you had Nazis in Parliament last week. Boris Johnson was standing there taking photos with them. You can look him up. That's factual news. That's not a Snopes article. You can look it up. You can actually see them handing him a flag right on the floor of Parliament. I don't know why Boris Johnson was even still allowed to hang around the halls of Parliament, but he was there. And of course, they were asking for more money. But you know, it's unbelievable. Anyway, the commander in chief, though, so Ukraine responded to this. So the commander in chief of Ukraine's armed forces, Skirsky, revealed the military training partnership with France on Monday. Today. Saying, I have already signed documents that will allow the first French instructors to visit our training centers soon and get acquainted with their infrastructure and their staff. So he says, I have the signed documents.
We're doing this.
Then the Ukrainian Defense Ministry rolled it back because they got a phone call. Oh, you weren't supposed to say it. We're waiting for the big D-Day celebration. We're waiting where we overcame Nazis for you as Nazis to celebrate. I mean, don't you get it? So clarifying that Kiev was still in discussions with France. Oh, we didn't mean it. I maybe it didn't have those signed documents. We're still in discussions with France. So the Ministry of Defense in the UK felt needed to remind all of us, you know, when we hear Russia saying we had an agreement with Bill Clinton, we knew that NATO was not going to build up and come right up to our doorstep, that the Ministry of Defense in the UK saying, here's the reality. NATO never agreed it wouldn't expand. and has been open to new members since it was founded in 1949. Its job is keeping its members safe. And they released this little video, this little piece of propaganda right before the D-Day celebrations. Myth. NATO promised Russia would not expand after the Cold War. Such an agreement was never made. Really?
That's a lie.
Yeah, ask John Mearsheimer about that.
Ask Jeffrey Sachs about that.
Ask Benjamin Abelow about that. Membership decisions are taken by consensus among all allies. Interesting.
Were all allies allowed to vote on Russian application when Russia expressed interest in NATO?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, it would break precedence for us to actually uphold a treaty or anything like that. I mean, we don't do that. So if we would have, you know, held that, like, take it, kept that promise, that would have made no sense because we don't do that. We don't make promises to do something and then keep them.
Hmm. No, we would never do that. We would never do that.
I mean, if they didn't think that it was a bad look right now, they would also have Benjamin Netanyahu come to D-Day as well. It's just too costly during an election year.
Oh, I'm sure he'll be there.
You think he'll come?
Oh, Netanyahu, anytime there's a camera, you got to get him there, right?
I just think that, I mean, you can see that it's costing maybe the new administration president, so many voters. Yeah. And so I don't know.
Maybe the new president of Mexico.
But,
perfect.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine like all the pain and suffering around D-Day and think, well, someday they'll use this memory of us to sell more wars. Isn't that great, boys?
Like, we'll use D-Day to push for World War III. Like, the whole reason we died here and my friends died on this beach is to not have this happen again. And Macron is going to use this, according to the Financial Times. These are not my words. This is the FT. By the way, the FT, which costs like $1,000 a year to subscribe to. It's the most elite of newspapers, right? The Financial Times is telling us this. So Poland is a candidate for nuclear war. Russian political scientist Konstantin Sivkov made the remarks on state television last night as he described how Poland basically would become a small theater of nuclear war. Like, this is them gaming this out on live Russian television right now. Like, Poland is going to be ground zero for war right now. I hope they know what they're doing.
Берем, например, Польшу, как наиболее такую ближайшую к нам и к наиболее реальный кандидат на оказаться небольшим таким, небольшим, неограниченным театриком ядерной войны. Там найдется 20 крупных городов? Вряд ли. Даже если посчитать, что на каждый город нужно им выделить по две боеголовки, это всего 30-40 боеголовок. Что такое 30 боеголовок? Это всего залп одного дивизиона «Искандеров». 16 пусковых, на каждой по две. 10-15 минут, и Польша как государство, а поляки как народ – исчезают с лица земли вместе со своим языком. Вот это вот европейцы должны очень-очень хорошо понимать. Потому что поэтому я вот призываю сейчас еще раз европейским народам крепко задуматься о том, что они вытворяют.
I mean, you know, Russians don't mince words. It's going to be a small theater of nuclear war. You have about 20 large cities. They'll all be wiped out. The Polish language will basically cease to exist there. Poland will cease to exist, and Polish people will cease to exist. I hope you know what you're doing. Macron sending these trainers there. And by the way, Russia responded today saying, it doesn't matter what at all what the FT is saying. We have already confirmed that they are here. So the FT can go like pound sand. Yeah, they're on the story. They know that that's actually happening. But according to Russia and according to RT, Russian state media is pointing out that they already know first group of French military instructors are already on their way to Ukraine. Senior Ukrainian MP Alexei Gosnoshner, I don't know how to say his name, said this comes just to, so he's already admitted this. Russian TV is echoing what Ukraine has already said. And Russia says it has warned it will target NATO personnel and equipment found in Ukraine. And so all of this brings, according to Zero Hedge, all of this brings with it real risk of triggering NATO Article 5 in response, in defense, common defense treaty. So they will come to the defense of a NATO partner, which have some Western leaders, according to Zero Hedge, say requires going to war with Russia. Lindsey Graham would love that. So that's how you honor our D-Day veterans.
Good, let's send
start
Lindsey
World
Graham.
War III, Macron. And you wonder
why
these people with their ally, yeah, with Zelensky, Unbelievable. I would love to know what the French people think. If anyone's watching from France right now, anyone's watching from any of the towns that were liberated right along the coast near Normandy, up and down the coast, let us know. Drop us a comment here in the chat room. Let us know what you think about this. Do you think you love that Zelensky is coming to your little town? How do you feel about this?
I'm outraged about the arrests. You can't put coffins outside to protest for peace.
If they were filled with cheese, you probably could.
Or croissants.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got more news to get to here on your Monday. We're going to look at Canada had a massive million-person walk out of the classroom, and it could continue into tomorrow and for the rest of the week as parents and school kids have had enough with woke ideology trying to push trans ideology on children. And so as part of this gay pride walkout, having them raise the flag, they're saying absolutely not. Kids need to be wearing Canadian colors, Canadian flags in Canada, and walk out of these classrooms in protest. So we're going to check in on what that looks like and how this is all coming together in a moment.
And whether Trump's conviction is actually a gift for the former president. Is it something he can use? Is it something that shows us something? We're going to have Lionel Nation on from his YouTube channel to talk about that. But first, we want to tell you about our friends over at Bank on Yourself, because, of course, you know you are being lied to by the banking commercials that you see during the Super Bowl telling you to put all your money into an IRA or a 401k. What you're really doing when you do that is partnering with the government to invest in the stock market and then letting the government pervert the stock market. Well, that's not really a foolproof retirement plan now, is it? But there is a better way to grow and protect your hard-earned money. We're talking about a retirement plan alternative that has never had a losing year in over 160 years. So go to bankonyourself.com/redacted, learn about this, and see if it works for you and your family and how it can be better than these commercialized stock market investments that they call awesome retirement plans. So you also have tax-free retirement income because you know what your tax rate will be in retirement. It'll be zero under current tax law, which protects you from the coming tax tsunami. Plus, you're in control. You get access to your money for any purpose. No questions asked. Try doing that with your 401k or your IRA. You cannot. This is the strategy famous businesses like McDonald's have used, and almost anyone can do it. So again, remember, wealthy people, they don't just do what the banks tell them to do. They seek out these creative ways to handle their finances. They take some time to learn about them and they implement. So that's what we're asking you to do, is head on over to bankonyourself.com/redacted and get a free report. Spend a little time studying this. Again, it's a proven retirement plan alternative that you can find at bankonyourself.com/redacted.
Well, all across Canada, millions of school children marching out of school, walking out of school on this June 3rd, standing against pride flag raisings in schools all over Canada. It's called My Child June. And I can't believe this is actually happening. How do they pull this off in 2024, saying enough with your gender ideology, enough with your indoctrination of our children across Canada? I thought Canada was lost, gone. David Creighton has been fighting for Canada. He's a journalist, an independent journalist from Canada who writes at the Post Millennial, who's been following this and joins us from Ottawa, Canada. David, how did they pull this off?
Well, they haven't done it yet, but they will. And I'll tell you, this was all done under the surface, because my friend who I worked with on the Million Person March, Camille El Sheikh, he's an Ottawa businessman and a Muslim activist who pulled off the Million Person March last September. And people said, there's no way you're going to get a million people. Camille had such a network of people across the country that started with Muslim groups, but exploded with other faiths as well. So this is not just Muslims. It's Christians, it's evangelical Christians, it's Roman Catholics, it's Hindus, it's Sikhs, it's Jews, it's parents of all faiths. And they worked together on this project quietly, behind the scenes, below the surface, and they're ready to go today. Today is the day. There's a nationwide walkout. Children and parents who don't want to be watching while this gay pride and I say that in quotation marks, flag is raised at their school, will not be there. Now, Camille told me yesterday that a lot of the schools, or some of the schools, got word of this, even though they made the announcement very late in the game. And they're changing the date of the pride flag hoisting from Monday to possibly Tuesday or Wednesday. Well, they're ready for that, too. They're telling their children to wear red and white clothing to represent the flag of Canada, not the rainbow flag, and that they will opt out. They will not go to any ceremonies where this flag is hoisted. Now, I can't tell you how revolutionary this is, Clayton, for Canada. This is a country where people who are usually too busy and too afraid to protest government policy, to take on the school boards, to take on provincial government education elites. But Camille and his friends, and the people he has put together into this group have managed to care enough about Canada's children. I spoke about this at an Ottawa church yesterday to say what the Muslim community in Canada has started and how they've engaged people of all faiths. And I tell you, the applause was deafening because Christians in this country have not done enough to stop the ideological campaign that the woke left has waged against parents, whether it's gender ideology or whether it's the whole LGBTQ plus indoctrination that children are being subject to from the earliest of ages. And the pride flag is just one of them. And because June is supposedly Pride Month in Canada, the Hands Off Our Kids campaign says, no, it's my child June. It's about my children. It's not about something called pride, whatever that is. And this is what we're going to focus on. And they have taken back June for Canadian parents. And I think they're on the verge of taking back this country for common sense and for parental rights. The fact that this kind of information should be inculcated into children at home and not by parents, not by school boards, not by politicians, not by Justin Trudeau. And this is what they've been so effective in doing. And I tell you, I've never seen a movement like this in Canada. I take my hats off to Camille and the people he's put together. He's got a tremendous team from across Canada. This is not just Ottawa. This is from Halifax to Vancouver. And these people are poised and ready to take action. And if this event is anything like the million-person march, which exceeded a million people, well, it actually was a 1.5 million-person march after all was said and done, I think he's going to be successful. And he's putting a lot of his own time and energy and money into making this happen. I take my hat off to him. I congratulate him. I have waited so long to see Canadians concerned about their children, sufficiently concerned about their children and the future of this country, that they're willing to take this kind of action, because these are desperate times. And I think this LGBTQ community is just pushed too far. There's pornography in the libraries across Canada, in the schools. The sex education courses are so incredibly ridiculous. They're teaching kids to do something you wouldn't even find in most X-rated films. And parents are just saying, I've had it up to here. I'm not just fed up, I'm going to throw up. And that's the attitude today. So
yeah,
this is a historic day in Canada.
Preach on, preach on. You know, we were just in London this weekend and I couldn't believe there was a bookstore right near our hotel, and we made sure that we didn't walk our kids across that section because I had walked out there earlier. And there are all sorts of like pornographic books. It was like it had their trans flags hanging in the window for Pride Month. And they had a whole bunch of books like selected up right in the front window. And it was the most like perverted stuff. I would never want my children to see that stuff. Like, we need to have your sexual perversions like right here in our face on a public street. No. And now, of course, it's in schools. And I frankly think a lot of the gay population is had enough too, that their movement has been totally co-opted by this gender ideology and these trans flag gender ideology indoctrination of our children. What started out as a rainbow flag is now some flag with a a pointy chevron on the side, and God, every week it changes now, and you're supposed to keep up with it or you're bigoted. I'm curious what the liberals in Canada say about this. What does Justin Trudeau say about this movement? Have the liberals spoken out against this? Are they saying that, you know, if you take part in this march to protect children, then you're bigoted, you're a MAGA right-wing extremist, you're in the Trump fold?
I think you probably collected all of the adjectives and the various dispersions that the government will cast upon these people. They've said nothing so far. I think that's because they don't believe this is going to happen. They didn't believe the million person march was going to happen either. They said that's impossible. There's not enough parents out there who really care about gender ideology in the schools. And they really don't think there's enough parents out there who are mad as hell and aren't going to take it anymore about this pride flag and this pride month, which is now pride season. That's all we want to talk about.
Right.
School has become just a nonstop curriculum of sex education. And it's not just revolting, it's just absurd. Are kids no longer being taught the basics of just how to read and write? No, they're being taught to have sex change operations. They're being taught about all kinds of weird sexual behavior when they're not even old enough and they're not even developed as human beings. And we're foisting this matter upon them, this material upon them. And I think really they have pushed too far. As you said, the whole expanding alphabet soup coalition of LGBT plus, and I can't even remember all the other elements in this equation anymore.
They have
pushed too far.
Yeah, it changes every week. How are you going to keep up with it?
Yeah, and they won't. And what will they be satisfied with? I don't know. And when there's complete sexual license in the schools, when parents have absolutely no say in what's going on, maybe then they'll find something else to push and to promote in the schools. And it certainly won't be education, because that's not what they're focused on. They're not focused on raising children in schools that are capable of reading, writing, and reasoning. That's not what they want. They want indoctrinated students in a woke ideology that has simply gone mad, that has gone crazy in this country. And once again, I am so, shall I say, inspired that there are enough Canadian parents who are pushing back on this. And they're going to shock the Liberal government today, I'll tell you that. And they're going to shock them throughout the month of June, because Camille tells me they have got a lot of events planned for the month of June to push back on this so-called Pride Month and this flying of the Pride flag everywhere, even at the Prime Minister's office. They literally take down the Canadian flag now at the Prime Minister's office right across the street from Parliament Hill. They take the Canadian flag down and they put the Pride flag up. So who is this Prime Minister aligned with? Who is he supporting? Is he Canada's Prime Minister, or is he working for the LGBTQ plus ideology? Is he working for this group? Because it's not clear anymore who Justin Trudeau represents. He doesn't represent ordinary Canadians. He doesn't represent these parents who are engaged in this walkout today and who will be opposing this month throughout June.
Well, we'll see when all the dust settles later today, as the night falls there in Canada, as it's going to, what the response was, and then how many more days they will continue this if the politicians and the schools decide to continue this over the next few days. David Creighton in Ottawa, Canada, keeping his eyes on all of this. Culture warrior there in Ottawa. Thank you, David, as always.
Thank you so much, Clayton, for your interest in the story, and we will continue to monitor.
Yeah, that's just so wild, right? And how many of you think that this will be covered in the mainstream media in Canada, in Trudeau's Canada? Not, right? But if you live in Canada and you actually see coverage of this, let us know. Tell us on X. You can tag us or something like that. We got no more news to come. Coming up, we're going to talk about President Trump, whether or not the guilty conviction is evidence of a two-party justice system. I mean, it is, but we're going to talk about it anyway and what the rest of us should think about it, what we can expect from President Trump. That's coming up. But first, we want to tell you about our friends over at Nom Nom, because Nom Nom is here for dog parents who know that it is essential to keep mealtime exciting. It is vet developed and has enticing textures, stimulating variety, and floor licking delicious to get your dog's tail wagging, because of course they are a member of the family, so they should not be eating gross processed food full of fillers. They need nutrition and substance just like you do. So Nom Nom has vet-developed meals, burst with the balanced nutrients dogs need and the tantalizing tastes and textures that they crave to add delight to their day. Now, you know, the best way to your dog's heart is through food. They come running. And so the recipes are made with 100% premium ingredients, which means 0% freaky fillers or funky stuff that you, you know, could also use to light your fire. No, that dog is so cute. I'm sure, you know, have you ever heard the expression, everyone thinks their dog is the best and everyone is right? I love that. It's true. So give your dog something to get excited about and treat them like their best. You can get 50% off your no-risk trial right now by going to trynom.com/redacted. It's available right now at chewy.com or your local PetSmart stores. And again, you can get 50% off your no-risk trial by heading over to trynom.com/redacted. That's trynom.com/redacted for 50% off your first subscription order. trynom.com/redacted. Our next guest says that the Trump guilty verdict is a gift from God. To who, do you think? Because most of us who paid attention feel like it is a signal of a misuse of justice. But who is it a gift for? Well, former prosecutor and legal analyst Lionel Nation on YouTube is going to explain why this is a gift and who's the gift to. Lionel, good to see you again.
Well, thank you. It's a gift, perhaps facetiously, it's a gift to the president, and it's also a gift to all of us to once and for all put, I guess, if there's any question as to how serious lawfare is. It's a term I think that is being used far too much, but it is certainly now. And I think—
Okay, which president are we talking about? Is a gift to which president?
Trump.
Okay,
he's raised more money.
Yeah,
right. Former president. I'm sorry. To me, he is always a president. He is a— It's more money, more followers, more fame, more everything. And Joe Biden must be wondering, what am I doing? Well, which is what we're doing. But let me bring up a couple of points, which is really, really critical here. And I hope Americans in particular understand something. Please, please pay attention to what's happening to Steve Bannon and Rudy Giuliani and Roger Stone and Alex Jones and Harvey Weinstein and Peter Navarro and even Diddy and Epstein and Alec Baldwin even and Richard Nixon. These are cases where we have to remind folks lawfare, and again, I don't want to keep using the term, but the misapplication of the legal system in order to politically skewer and punish. This has been going on forever and is going on right now. Natalie, let me tell you something. Of the four cases that President Trump is looking at, for the first three, most people understand it, okay? There's the January 6th case where you can say, oh, okay, I see. The question is, did President Trump incite people? Okay, fine. Whether he did it or not, at least you understand the charge. Next, there's a notion of documents, Mar-a-Lago. Simple. Did he keep documents? He shouldn't. You understand it. The third case, a little bit more arcane and recondite, but still, it's the Georgia case involving Fannie Willis. By the way, that's going nowhere. And that case asks a very simple question. Did the president engage in some kind of electoral chicanery with false electors or whatever? And whether it rose to the racketeering level is a different story. Okay, so those three you understand. I'm telling you, as to this one, nobody understands it. Nobody understands what it is. And it's like Richard Feynman said about quantum mechanics. If you think you understand it, you don't understand it. And if I could, let me just— I don't want to bore you, but we have to be a little specific here.
But can I just say what liberals celebrate, and you can respond to this, what they're celebrating is, oh, he hid an affair from the voters. That's the violation. He shouldn't have done it. He did it in a shady way. He's guilty. We told you he was a bad guy all along. So how would you respond to that?
Maybe. See, I don't know. I don't know. It's like anything else. It's like, why do you like the Beatles? I don't know. Different reasons. But under this falsifying business records in the first degree, this is section 175.1. Let me just read this very, very quickly. This is count one. And by the way, there are 34 of these counts that were virtually identical. The defendant in the county of New York and elsewhere on February 14, 2017, now listen carefully, with intent to defraud and intent to commit another crime, and aid and conceal the commission thereof, made and caused a false entry to be made in the business records, specifically an invoice. So let me go back again. with the intent to defraud, whom we don't know, and the intent to commit another crime. What crime? We don't know. This is unheard of. Nobody understands what this means. Very, very, again, I don't want to get too wonkish here, but everybody, you know, with all these experts, and everybody, by the way, everybody on TV is an expert. Everybody says, oh, I predicted this. You didn't predict anything. You don't know what's going to happen. But very, very specifically, sometimes, you know, you don't have to specify certain things. If you commit burglary and you're charged with entering or remaining in the structure or conveyance of another or the dwelling with the intent to commit an offense therein, you don't have to specify it. This is different. So what happens is this. You're right about this. I believe the voters were deprived of the information. They were defrauded because there was an NDA agreement, a non-disclosure agreement, made with Stormy Daniels, who, by the way, signed it herself. So if it's illegal, why wasn't she prosecuted in any event? And you know this, being in the media biz, you can't leave one corporation without you signing a host of, you know, not agreements not to disparage, non-disclosure, trade secrets. It's done all the time. And by the way, Natalie, I don't have to. I can have you sign an agreement. After we're done with this, I can pay you $200 never to mention this again. Mm-hmm. And we don't have to even question the validity of it. So anyway, so the theory was that this non-disclosure agreement was made, and it deprived the voters, I guess, of the knowledge that he might have had an affair with someone. Then the payment was made by his partner in crime, the quote fixer, who doesn't fix anything, serial liar, Michael Cohen, who himself paid for it. And then when he was paid, quote, legal fees, was there really a reimbursement or was that actual legal fees? And was that fraudulent? Now, remember, what you do is you just nod your head. If you're on CNN, you say, well, that makes complete sense to me. If you're George Conway, you say, well, that makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. If you're anybody else, you say, well, that makes sense to me. But it doesn't. And by the way, the hypocrisy. One more thing before we forget.
Why doesn't it make sense?
Because we still don't know what he did. Okay. We don't even know what he did. We don't even know what he, we can't even figure out what he did. This would have never been brought. Now, remember a couple of things. First and foremost, the FEC, the Elections Commission said, we're not going to take this. The Southern District of New York said, we're not going to take this.
Yes.
Cy Vance, the prior district attorney, said, I'm not going to take this. This is garbage. Alvin Bragg, the current DA, says, I'm not going to take this case. It's horrible. It's terrible. I don't even understand it. Then they said, oh, you're going to take it. Okay. He didn't take it. He was the titular placeholder. He was pushed out of the way. And then this Matthew Colangelo and folks from the DOJ came in. They took over. So Alvin Bragg is sitting there. He doesn't know. He's like Tish James. He shows up in court. He gets some coffee. He leaves. He has no idea what's going on. The hypocrisy. Let me bring this one up too. Look, here's the best part. Nothing that Judge Mershon did was illegal. Nothing's illegal. This is all legal. This is legal. You can do this. It's like you can steal elections legally. I can steal elections. So just because either I'm not caught or there's no law doesn't make it proper. But here we have a case whose daughter, now this is a state-appointed judge, very, very, this is New York, very, very political. He has aspirations, as do most judges, of, I don't know, federal judgeship or governor, who knows. His daughter was involved in a very, very serious PR campaign that made millions of dollars in helping place Democratic candidates, Adam Schiff, I think, or others. And this would have been a real feather in her cap. Mm-hmm. Right. And this would have been a feather in her cap and the Democrats' cap for President Trump to be convicted. Okay, fine. Now, I'm not saying it was done deliberately, but they said this could have been a conflict. This could have been a conflict. This provides for the appearance of impropriety. They said that's ridiculous. Now, cut to Judge Alito, Justice Alito, appointed for life, Supreme Court Justice. His wife flies some flag and they want him recused. Clarence Thomas, his wife, again, he's appointed for life. Nobody can influence him theoretically. He's there for life. His wife is involved in, you know, conservative functions and the like. They want him to recuse. So it's hypocrisy, it's unfairness, and the Republicans better understand they're not done. Republicans are the biggest wimps. They don't understand this. They're going to do everything in their power to put President Trump in jail, in prison, lock him up. They want an orange jumpsuit. They want this. And I can talk to you all day long and make the case against it. I can see it makes no sense how under the rules, a person with no priors, and that's another thing. He's a prior now, he's a convicted felon. So the next time he's sentenced, and there will be a next time, because they're not done with him. As long as he's breathing, he's still a target. They're going to use his prior conviction to up the ante. So, and so what are the Republicans doing, Natalie? They're going on Fox News. They're saying, look how much money we raised. That's great. These people are cold-blooded and ruthless. They are not done yet. The Republicans just don't have it. I'm glad the president is done. He can maybe, I hope, I'm guessing he'll get probation. It's the only thing that makes sense. But then again, nothing makes sense.
Right.
Nothing. None of this.
Well, talk to me about the two-party justice system that I think is blaringly apparent at this point. I don't know how anyone could argue anything else, because I personally do feel that the Hunter Biden story was withheld from me as a voter, and hook, line, and sinker that, they're just trying to go after Hunter Biden because the right wing goes after, or the left wing goes after the Trump kids so badly.
Right.
So that's what they're doing, and I bought it as a voter until I started to look into it. I want to ask you about this 2016 campaign violation from the Clinton campaign for the Steele dossier, which she put down as legal services. Now, the Steele dossier was, she hired him to write a false document, write a lie that I can sell to the electorate and prosecute Donald Trump on. To me, that's almost worse, because I don't have any illusions that Donald Trump may or may not had extramarital trysts. That did not disabuse me of anything about his character. The Steele dossier, again, was a pile of shit that I bought during the Trump campaign. And I do feel like that was. So why did she only get an $8,000 slap on the wrist?
Because she's Hillary Clinton. And because they're going to make a distinction without a difference. They're going to say, well, it's different. And it's not different. Every single thing. Let me also tell you.
That's
something
fraud. She bought fraud for the campaign.
I don't understand. I will never understand how I can go and hire basically a screenwriter to, let's say, make up false information about you, libelous information about you, which is really not libelous, until I publish it, and then now I'm publishing it. They don't even care about this. Remember Perkins Coie and Fusion GPS and Steele and
taxpayers paid for this investigation based on this lie.
But that's for the investigation. But the lie itself, right? You're right about that. See, none of it makes any sense. Let me go back and remind you of something. What they're doing to other people, what they're doing to Peter Navarro. Look at this. I want to say this. Not rogues gallery, but this list. And remember, I don't care whether you like him or not. Bannon. They're all of a sudden, Bannon, Navarro, you lied before Congress. Remember in 2000, I don't know my years, 2005 or whatever, when a bunch of Major League Baseball players went before the Congress and they said, did you use steroids? I don't know what you're talking about. What? Mark McGwire famously said, do we have to talk about this now? Yes. Yes. Then the 94, 93 tobacco executives came and they said, is nicotine connected to any type of addiction? You go, no. So they don't care about this. But what's going to happen is you got people like Bannon and you've got others. And again, whether you like him or not, you're going after what they're doing to Rudy Giuliani and others. They're going after, and these cases are a little bit different, but the right, all of this has to do with using the legal system. And whether it's Alex Jones, again, when you like these people or not. And I like when they use people, Natalie, and then they don't need them. Harvey Weinstein. What they did to Harvey Weinstein is unconscionable. But people don't like it because he's ugly and he's gross and he's terrible to women. But they were basically going back and using offenses that have nothing to do with this one. And now, and I know nobody cares about this, even Diddy, they're setting him up. They use you. Alec Baldwin, when they don't need you anymore. Let me ask you one question about him. I know it's off the subject, but if this were Ron Howard, do you think they'd be leaving him twisting in the wind? What do these all have in common? It's the legal system. That's the legal system. And what happens is then you have these folks of supposed legal great pedigree and from white shoe firms who go on CNN and they say, well, this is obviously terrific. Whatever happened to the Mueller Commission? Whatever happened to Mueller? What happened to any of these people? What was this about? Hillary Clinton is an election denier. Stacey Abrams is an election denier.
If that's what we're doing.
Yes.
Yes, the first one.
You know, the other day, to show you how, and by the way, they make up their own history. When they brought up the birther evidence, Hillary Clinton brought that up with Mark Penn. They were the ones who did this. And they know, because since we have the attention span of a gnat, people aren't paying attention to this. Now, did the president, let me tell you one thing, and I think maybe we talked about this before. I don't know. Why didn't the president just say, yeah, I had an affair with Stormy Daniels? Yeah. Because that would have eliminated her, because she was there, because he put her into issue. He basically said, I never had. Well, there can't be an NDA if there wasn't an affair, theoretically. So by virtue of his own recalcitrance, he says, you know, maybe it's this old be stubborn, deny everything sort of thing. Cohn, I don't know. Why didn't Weisselberg, this is his 50s, he's been with the Trump Organization for 50 years, sentenced twice to like 5 months and 100 days by this very same judge. Why didn't he testify? Why didn't the security person testify? I don't want to play after the fact, like, and I'm not sure. Why is his lawyer going on CNN? I don't understand any of this. And by the way, it's not far-fetched for somebody somewhere to say, listen, I don't understand this. I'm going to vote not guilty. Out of 12 people for 34 counts. Let me also say this again, Natalie. This is what I want everybody in your main audience to understand. They took one transaction and they broke it up into 34 separate individual transactions.
Yes.
Involving either a check, an invoice, a debit, a voucher. It was one transaction. And again, it was to pay her, Stormy Daniels, an NDA. Now also, by virtue of bringing David Pecker on and going catch and kill is completely legal. This is legal. But what they did was they created this fiction in the mind of 12 people who apparently wanted to hear this, that this was an ongoing conspiracy on part of Donald Trump and others to collude, to keep from the American people facts that they could use in order to vote for him. The election rules apply to the following. If you are running for office and you decide that for whatever reason, you've got a business and you know what, you've got you got a couple of employees. You know what? I don't want them coming. Pay them off. Get rid of them. Plus, I'm going to go out and I'm going to buy a huge wardrobe and get my teeth fixed and I'm going to do all this stuff and get surgery. I'm doing all of these things. None of those are in any way considered campaign related because I could have done them anyway. I could have paid off, or he could have paid off Stormy Daniels to keep it from Melania. That's not necessarily campaign. Opening up an offices, hiring pollsters, those are campaign related. So even if, and by the way, they wanted to have Brad White, commissioner, who is an expert, say, this is not even in the realm, within the rubric of any kind of
right, but
campaign.
It doesn't.
And there can be no fraud.
The thing is, it doesn't matter when it comes to Trump because they changed the statute of limitations for rape prosecution for Jean Carroll to sue him. Mm-hmm. So they will change the laws to get this guy. And even if you're the biggest Trump hater in the world, that should scare you, right?
But by the way, they got him. They took a regular, what was it, $5 million? They upped it to 80, or I forget what it was. By virtue of his denying it, which turned out to be construed as defamation. You see, Trump can never just come out and just say, I deny this. He'll make fun of people. He had what? How many gag orders?
Yes.
Now, let me ask you this, very, very simply this. As we speak, there are, Chinese TikTok what is this? Scamouflage and dragon breath or whatever, all these things. They are portraying the United States as being this country of rapscallions, this third world banana republic where they bring they're so oppressive. They bring form. Now, granted, China has its share of this as well. But here's my question. How do we look right now to the rest of the world? And let me also remind you of this. Do you think that if Donald Trump, when he wins, I believe he will win re-election despite all this, but when he wins, if he had a real DOJ with a real smart FBI and a real smart attorney general. Do you think somebody can make the argument that the fraud, the conspiracy to commit fraud between Joe Biden and Hunter is still ongoing, that they keep redoing it, so it's through novation. So this conspiracy, Burisma, whatever, so you could bring charges against him now. Is it possible? You betcha.
Oh,
so remember,
yeah.
Like they say in Jack Reacher, remember that great line? He goes, remember, you wanted this, and I will do this. But the Republicans don't have this ruthlessness part of them. The reason why this is, one of the reasons why, is because Trump never went after Hillary. He said, you know, lock her up. And this, he never did, because he's right. A nice guy. He had no idea how brutal these people are.
Well, also, I do feel like Republicans are campaigning on the rule of law, like hold inner cities, you know, inner city crime accountable for the rule of law, hold immigrants, you know, accountable for the rule of law, hold drug addicts. So then you can't go change the rule of law to, like, it doesn't make sense. I mean, I guess that's fair in politics, but at the same time, maybe, now I think both parties are a uniparty, but at the same time, there are some in the Republican Party who I think maybe still hope that our justice system will get this right, that it will just play its way through the courts and we will see we'll see the proper application of jurisprudence. Does that sound naive when I say that?
Oh, no, it doesn't at all. And I think that's a part of it. And but one of the things is that, unfortunately, Trump has been under so much attack and he's been under so many cases involving various prosecutions and civil suits that people are, I guess what people are saying is they are so almost immune to it. They're habituated to it. They're saying, oh, yeah, it's another one. And instead of, it's the weirdest thing, instead of people getting tired, they get used to something. It's the strangest thing. In most parts of life, resentment builds up. But this, for example, it's almost like kids, teenagers, sometimes they habituate to you. It's like, are you bothering me again? As opposed to them paying more attention to your desires. American public are like kids. They just get, they need to be scared or something. Look, the bottom line is simply this. Now that this is over, and now that we are done, and we're going to be having every single night, if I hear Mark Levin screaming, and Alan Dershowitz is a genius, and everybody's going to come out and say the same thing over and over. Yes, you're right. It's a banana republic. Yes, I got it. The point is, what's Trump doing now? Now, he needs to do this very, very quickly. And this is the political. He's got to go on. He's got to speak to people. And he's got to say, look what they did. And he's got to tell people, hello, Mr. President. That's convicted president. Remind them, own it. They convicted me for something that nobody can understand. And I always ask my friends who kind of call me up and gloat, I said, by the way, I give you $100 if you can explain to me what he was convicted of. But he's got to remind people of this. He's got to also tell them, if it can happen to me, it can happen to you. And throughout history, from Jesus, I'm not trying to make a comparison, to St. Paul, to Mahatma Gandhi, to Martin Luther King, whenever somebody gets in the way, you only take flack when you're over the target, they historically and sometimes hysterically will try to shut you down. This is what nothing's changed. And what happens is America has to recognize that it has to do something. And by the way, Natalie, they're going to steal or try to steal this election again legally. And what Trump needs to be doing, in addition to rehashing all the terrible things, he's very good at explaining his own particular woes. And I understand it's very important. But he's got to be able to say that we have dispatched ninjas to polling sites, to precincts. We have armies of individuals standing by ready to act accordingly. We are going to fight back. This is what we're doing. We're not just raising money. We're not going to have these phony baloney Jim Jordan hearings where nothing ever is accomplished. He's got to rewrite the way what we're doing, because yes, it's one party, but it's the shadow government. It's more than Soros, and it's more than the usual suspects. It's an insidious, almost a cancer, a virus that's in our system that seeks to bombard everything, complete and total organ failure. Just when you know, we talk about kids. Not only do you as a proud citizen and a broadcaster and a wife and a mother, whatever, you have to worry about your family, the future, the world, your own children, the world they're living in. What do they think about this? And what is it? when you have, when we constantly have kids, I don't want to sound like Mr. Moralist here, kids immersed in this world of filth. Look, this, say what you want about Stormy Daniels and what this was about. Kids have to kind of hear about this. And they may say, like, what did she do? And who is she? And what did she do?
It was, yes, like during the but I grew up during the Monica Lewinsky scandal, and that was disgusting. Yes. Yes.
Well, see, that's the thing. And this is something
I had to know more than I should have because of that news cycle.
And people are talking about dresses and stains and that sort of thing. But also there's this thing too, and I hope people recognize something, that if you plan on going or being in office, they are setting you up. And President Trump kind of believed his own press, and he needs to be, he loves this thing about appearing to be the subject of the charms and the attractions of women. Look, I don't know if you follow this, but even the media, they always talk about this Hope Hicks and this Margot Martin, and then the other one was Alina Haba. And if they spend half the time worrying about his case as they do posing by the pool on Instagram, this is where we are right now. This, I guarantee you. So we live in a world where it's all upside down. And I don't understand why the president has to come out every time he spoke. Why didn't he talk about his worldview? Forget about the case. Forget about the judge. Forget about his daughter or what he looks like, or, you know, these slams. Talk about what you're going to do for me. You know, the African-American community is 14% of the population. They are chomping at the bit to vote for him. He's got to speak to them, and Latinos who have been for war, and the gay community, different factions and subsidiaries of the population who have been all but ignored by this. And every time he speaks, he should be doing this, not going into some self-serving Fox News with C-listers, explaining what we already know. And that goes double for his son and his family. Talk about what you're going to do to me. Talk about how you're going to make America great again. Quit telling me about what you've been through. I understand that.
We can see it. Yeah. And so, at this point, you know, he can use this to springboard his campaign, because even people who have not historically liked him understand the persecution of somebody, and enough to be afraid of it for the rest of us.
Did you see the Bronx? We were here. My wife and I are watching this. We're watching this, and it was bigger. And when you're here, it's even bigger. This is the Bronx?
Right.
This is the Bronx. This was as blue. The old story used to be, if you are a criminal defendant, this is what they used to always say, the best places to be is the Bronx. You can do anything, because there was such a law and order in the police. It's not correct, but that was the theory. We saw people, and by the way, I'm finding myself right now, I don't know about you, listening to platforms, listening to people, finding myself listening to folks who would have been, I think, politically antithetical to what I was thinking for years, because they were either left or this or that. But now you talk about the Uniparty. The Uniparty is also, it's like the Great Reset. The world is now saying, wait a minute, this is nuts.
Yeah.
There aren't these fine gradations between left and right anymore. People are interested in families, and everybody deep down will say, listen, don't tell anybody I said this. I'm a lefty and I'm a woke. But enough with Trump. Enough with Trump.
Yeah.
Do you know that? If I showed you, for example, the cases in jurisdictions of rape evidence kits that have been lost, women who have been, just one example, what they're doing to children, missing kids. There's like 2,300 kids missing every single day in this country. And when I mean missing, I mean dead, killed, vanished, through, finished, done. We have turned our back on things that really matter, substantive existential issues, and shown this absolutely psychotically punctilious focus on a case that is nothing more than just this fixation that a few people have with this president, and people know that.
Well, just we're going to leave it there because we're a bit out of time, but. Yes, I appreciate that. And especially because you're right that how many real crimes fall through the cracks and we prosecute this kind of crime to the most salacious manner. But here we are. You know, it's not done. It absolutely is not done. So we're going to have to see it play itself out, but it will play itself out in front of us during the election. So you can follow Lionel's great analysis. You were one of the first people I went to after this guilty verdict on Thursday and Friday of last week. It's Lionel Nation on YouTube. We always appreciate you coming on Redacted. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
That's going to do it for us today here at Redacted. Thank you so much for joining us. Hey, if you like what you see here and you would like to signal that to the world with either a t-shirt or a hat or a water bottle or something like that, to that effect, a mug, you can visit the Redacted store and see what we have to offer. Maybe there's something there that you can tell other people. I know Redacted information because I watch this show. You should too. We're not conspiracy theorists. We're conspiracy knowers. Made that up recently, kind of like it. Think it should catch on. Has nothing to do with theory, my folks. It's the conspiracy knowers. We need a shirt that says that. So anyhow, please come back tomorrow. We will be back all week, same time, same place. Thank you so much for joining us. Hey, share this with somebody. Like, subscribe, do those things. We would really appreciate it. Thanks again. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.